So I call this meeting to order. This is the March 6th, 2023, 6 o'clock meeting for the Emmett County Board of Commissioners. Let's all stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's have roll call.
Commissioner Loffbaum?
Here.
Commissioner Aarons?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Goodup?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Fields?
Here.
Okay, we're looking for the approval of the agenda. A motion.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Support. We have a motion and support. All those in favor? Say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
And opposed, the same sign. The motion carries. Approval of the minutes.
So moved.
We have a motion. Looking for a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, the same sign. The motion carries.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm flying blind up here. I don't have the agenda on. Why not? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, barely.
Got to move closer to you. Oh, really? Okay. All right. Thank you. I learned something. I had the 545 one. Got the right one now. I got the right one.
Okay. Now we're open for public comment. Carla, come on up.
I would hope that Tatum could maybe put back up one of those last slides. Is that possible or not? I just want to point something out that I pointed out, that two of the sites do not have ADA compliance as far as getting to the picnic table and the fire pit. And you had the representative from Mr. from Beckett Rader just stand up here and tell you they are ADA. They're not. I just asked him. He said no. If you could put that up there, people could see what I'm talking about. Unless all of you have access to it.
Yeah, we can see it here. Thank you.
But everybody else doesn't. But I don't want to make it sound like I was saying something that was not true, because it's absolutely true.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else for public comment? Hearing none, let's go to appearances.
Good evening. EMS Director Brian Patton is here tonight. He's going to give us a little update on EMS and what's going on in the EMS department.
Hi, I'm Brian Patton, Director of Emmett County EMS. I think this is the earliest I've ever been on an agenda for a board meeting, so I'll try not to take too much time for everybody behind me. I've been with the agency since 2015 when we started as a county department. I started as a paramedic, moved up as a supervisor, and then started my role as the director last end of May, beginning of June. So it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. I attached to the board packet quite a few graphs and charts and kind of all those statistic numbers that people like to see of what we do every year. So I do have that. So if you have any questions about those, I'd be happy to talk about it. But I kind of wanted to talk a little bit more about what we're doing now overall, kind of as an agency, as a county department. Let's see. The core of our mission is to respond to emergencies and provide the best possible care that we can throughout the county. And just to show everybody kind of in the room as well, last year we had 5,317 calls for service. We ended up transporting over 3,874 of those patients. So we do stay pretty busy within the county. In order to continue to accomplish this primary goal, one of the most important things that I think we have and we continue to work on is our staff. One of the biggest challenges in EMS right now is staffing. And this is basically because of there are less licensed providers in the state of Michigan. There are less people going into EMS as a profession right from the beginning out of high school. And some of the things that we're seeing nationally is that in 2019, polls showed that the average stay of a paramedic at an ALS agency was 5 years. The beginning of this year, kind of the end of, the end of last year at one of the conference polls, it was down to 3 years. So there's just a tremendous amount of turnover in staff within the industry. And I think a lot of that just has to do with a lot of how certain agencies are structured or how they're basically valuing and treating their staff as that number one asset, which I believe that is our number one asset. We've been very fortunate here at our department. We currently have 26 full-time staff. We have 11 part-time staff. That balances out for 22 paramedics and 15 EMTs. Here in the county, all of our ambulances are licensed as ALS, which means we need one paramedic and one EMT minimum so that we can do all the advanced assessment and advanced procedures and interventions. I think that our residents are expecting of us that we can provide the best healthcare possible. Throughout this, one of the things that I'm also kind of proud to say is, you know, we do have turnover, but of the three paramedics that did leave our department last year, two of them left because they graduated nursing school and went on to do nursing, something else in healthcare, and one of them left to go back to college to get their bachelor's degree in another healthcare-related field, too. So I'm very happy that our staff aren't moving on to go to another EMS agency where they think the grass might be greener. They're moving on to advance themselves, which we're very happy to support. Speaking of that, we also have three of our current full-time EMTs taking paramedic class at the college here at North Central Michigan College, which we've been able to help support through some different grant funding. So we're optimistic that as we get them moved up in their licensure that, you know, in another year and a half, 2 years, we'll have those paramedics that we need to staff the ALS ambulances in our county. So we think that's a good plan kind of moving forward. The other thing that we know is very important for staff is to make sure that we're doing some continuing education. Medicine and practices in pre-hospital care and emergency medicine change just as much as any other field. So one of the things we like to do is make sure that all of our providers and all of our staff are up to date on current best practices, treatments, interventions, medications. So we do try and invest a decent amount of time doing that continuing education so that they feel ready when they're out there to face any emergency. And of course, they can provide the best care. We think that this helps engage our staff and understand that we value them by doing that. This week, we just went through and ran all of our staff through basically an all-day training to kind of get back up on cardiac events, so chest pain all the way to cardiac arrest, things like that. So we ended up having to do multiple days to get all of our staff in because we can't take ambulances off the road. So it's a little challenging, but it was well worth it. Some of the other things we're doing this next week on Wednesday, we actually, in partnership with McLaren Hospital, their stroke program, we're opening up our training room at our Epler station to all EMS agencies in the area, bringing in a national presenter on pre-hospital stroke care. We think that that really benefits both our employees and our patients, our residents of the county. And we're also happy that Emmett County EMS is rated as one of the top agencies in the state when it comes to following all of those protocols and procedures with stroke care to get those outcomes, the time that we take to get on scene, the care, the assessment that we're providing, the information we transmit, and then that time to get to the hospitals. So we've been working very hard at that, so we're happy to be able to share that information with other agencies in our area as well. One of the things that I did attach to the board packet was a very long list of primary impressions. So one of the things in EMS is, by law, basically we can't talk about a lot of the things that we do sometimes. And really all I wanted to do by showing you this was kind of to show the breadth, the scope of what it is that any one of my EMS providers might have to deal with when they go out or are called out for a scene. So a primary impression for us in EMS is basically a diagnosis. So once my providers arrive on scene, they do a full assessment, they're going to come up with a diagnosis that they can then treat and then, if appropriate, transport. So I wanted to put this list in here so you can kind of see just how many different things. There is no real specialization in EMS. We have to be able to assess and treat and help those patients with a very wide array of potential medical or trauma-related incidents. So I just kind of threw that in there for a little bit of reference. So the other thing that's important that I think our staff appreciate and also definitely helps the residents of our community is equipment. So as everyone in every department has experienced over the last few years, supply chain issues have made things very hard to come by, everywhere from gloves to new vehicles. Thanks to a good working relationship with administration and suppliers and the board, we've been able to kind of head off a lot of any issues that could hit our department. We were very proud to take delivery of a new ambulance in January. We also have a new remount coming in March. Basically, what a remount does is it takes the patient compartment, which is the highly specialized part, and takes it off of the chassis, puts it on a new chassis, which is about half the cost of having to replace the entire ambulance. So when that's appropriate, that's one of the policies that we've been putting into place to be cost-effective as a county department. We also have another remount going out in June. Other things, equipment-wise, like I say, that benefit, I think, the residents and our providers is all of our ambulances use power cots and load systems, which means rather than taking all of the weight from a patient between two providers, these are battery-powered hydraulic cots that load into the ambulance. So it really is the safest thing that we can do for our patients, and it helps prevent our staff from suffering what is the number one career-ending injury, which is repetitive lifting and lifting injuries. So that's another thing I think our staff really appreciate and also benefits all of our community members. The other thing that we work hard on is communication during emergencies. All of our ambulances are equipped with cardiac monitors that can transmit vital signs and other data to the hospital while they're on scene or while they're en route. What this does is get the assessment information that the provider has obtained, gets it to the doctors or the specialists, so that a lot of times we'll skip the ED and we'll go right to things like a CT scanner if it's a stroke, or we might go right down to the cath lab or an intervention where they can go right in and fix something if it's cardiac related. So we're trying to stay on the cutting edge of that as well. In addition to all the other the emergency response that we do when people call 911, we're also proud to be on site for a lot of community events. We do a lot of education for schools. We go out into some of the younger classrooms and preschools to kind of show them what EMS does, what to do in emergency, make sure that they're not afraid of us as a responder and other responders. We, as they get older, we go out and do some different first aid practice with some of the kids at the different schools to help them out. We've also spent quite a bit of time doing things like blood pressure and vaccination clinics at the senior centers and some of the assisted living centers around the county, too. We had quite a bit of demand for that over the last couple of years, so we're glad we could go out and help with that as well. And finally, of course, living in Northern Michigan is great. Michigan is great because we have a lot of good events throughout the summer, so we're also very proud that we are at those events to be ready in such an emergency and be prepared. I can say on behalf of myself and our staff that we are really looking forward to another year of success as an agency. We are all extremely proud to be driving ambulances that say Emmett County on them in uniforms to say Emmett County, and we believe we have a great system. And we believe we're meeting the expectations of our citizens. So thanks for letting me come up here. If any of you have any questions on the numbers, or if anybody wants to stop by one of our stations and see anything in person, we'd be happy to have you over.
Thank you, Brian. Is there any good questions?
Job. Quick question. So with this high turnover in these jobs, is this not considered like a career position, EMS?
It has been a bit of a challenge. Because unlike some of the other public service agencies like fire departments and law enforcement that really have been established way more than EMS, it's hard to see some of those career ladders. So it's a little bit difficult. And then part of it has also been because of, historically, lack of funding. So if you have lack of funding, you're kind of barely doing what you can to keep ambulances on the road. So it's hard to develop those other levels where people can move up the chain and really develop an agency.
So is people that are interested in a medical career, is it almost like a stepping stone to something else?
It is for a lot of them.
Okay.
It definitely is. And, you know, one of the things that I've worked with pretty much all my staff, especially my supervisors and everybody, is that even if people come and we see those statistics of staying with an agency for 3 to 5 years because they want to move on, and especially if they want to move on to advance themselves, that's where we need to be. So currently, like with our education and our staffing and recruitment, we're thinking of that. If I can get a paramedic and they're here for maybe only 3 years, how am I going to replace them? But I want to make sure that when they leave, it's to better themselves or do something else, and not because we
it's not like there's other places where paramedics stay for a career or something.
Most of them, the vast majority of ones that stay in a career are fire department based.
Cities. So they're like cross-trained.
Large urban fire EMS. So for more of a rural EMS, you know, we're going to have a certain number of them that are going to want to stay. And then a lot of people want to, go do something else in medicine. So
Good questions. Anybody else?
Yes, Brian, I do have one question for you. I've wondered about this. If we ever had an emergency right here in this meeting room, would you have to go all the way from security, come through security upstairs, or could you just cut right across the hall here to the outside door?
Yep, all of our badges that all of our EMS providers have the same pretty much access to all, you know, areas of any county building, save any of the most secure.
Okay, good.
So yeah, we do have direct access with that. And a lot of times too, especially depending on where we're at, I would say especially here, we'd have also law enforcement that can get us in. There's a lot of places that law enforcement can get us in.
Thank you.
And during the daytime, and we've had several different emergencies that happen in the building, we will have staff stationed outside the door and direct EMS into the building or law enforcement. So it doesn't matter which door, it's closest location to that door, we'll bring them in that way.
Well, it sounds like we're in good hands.
I hope so.
Thank you, Brian.
That's our goal. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Coming to the administrator's report.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation, I've listed out, and I talked to Ryan earlier this week and tried to get an update on what we're doing during the wintertime, because that's a question a lot of times that we get, especially when we have limited amounts of snow. I've listed several of the projects that are there working on throughout the year, but our staff stays busy throughout the year repairing equipment that we have. They're in our buildings right now, redoing bathrooms and removing trees in the campground, so year-round our staff is busy. Headlands had another photo that came up, and I think that one is, I can't remember, 1,500 light years away. And it's amazing now with the upgrades that we've done to the telescope and to the equipment there that we're getting these photographs. These are also then posted throughout the Headlands, so we can do that. We have a Parks and Recreation Board meeting coming up, so I won't steal the thunder from our commissioners on the committee updates. Currently have a number of bids out on the street that you'll see coming, an inmate food service bid, website redesign bid is out on the street right now too. Just a quick update on Bay Bluffs. The contractor is putting the final touches to the dining room projects. Actually, the Bay Bluff staff is moving the tables and chairs back in, and hopefully those rooms will be open this week. We've done a lot of work in plumbing throughout the building. There was no shutoff valves going down certain halls. If we had a leak or water main break within the building, we had to shut the entire water off. We've been able to go through there and work with the staff at Bay Bluffs to put those shutoffs in the right area so we don't have to shut the main water down for the building. We've had painting contractors. The Birch neighborhood, they call it the neighborhood, is open right now. We don't have residents living in there. So during that time, we've been able to do renovations in there. So we put new flooring in there. The rooms are painted. Our staff is working with the staff there to get the furniture and what they need in the rooms. So it is moving forward, which is good. And we will have that contractor out of there. It's taken way too long. But with COVID and requirements that we've had and setbacks in the dining rooms, it's taken way too long. But I'm happy to report that is coming to a finish. We've got tonight, you'll see that we have two bathtubs and lifts that need to be installed in there. And that RFP is out, and we'll move forward on that. MIDC, which is the Indigent Defense Council, that's the attorneys that we have for anybody within the system here that can't afford them. There's a multitude of steps, and we'll have someone come in here and give us an update of what that is. But we just had a meeting with that. And there's different standards. We're on standard 8 of hopefully 10.
Well, I think it's standard 8 of 8, but we still have like 3, 4, and 5 that they haven't come back to.
So there's all the standards the state put out there. We are compliant with them, and the latest one that just came out, we just met with staff. They're adjusting the salaries of the attorneys that we have within the system. The money is reimbursed from the state, though, but we must be compliant with. So that's it, and I will have our MIDC attorney come in and do a little presentation to bring you up to speed what that's all about. That's what I have for you tonight. Oh, I'm sorry, then we have a couple of attachments. Coffee with the Inspector is an event that the Planning Department of Construction Resources put on every year. They invite anybody that does contract work within Emmett County to come in It's a question and answer period. They go through any updates or changes to the code, and it's a great opportunity for our inspectors to come in and ask questions about building in Emmett County. And then I added in there that Consumers Energy is going to be doing some line clearing, tree removal work, and it affects a small portion of Emmett County, but I wanted to put that out there.
Okay, thank you. So we have no unfinished business, and we come to new business, looking for the a motion for the fair contract for the monster truck.
So you will see, I think we have four or five contracts on tonight. As we go get closer to summertime, there'll be more contracts that come. These contracts go through the fair board and discussion at the fair board. Once we put the contracts in place, then we bring them back to you for their approval. The events that we put on, and Agnes is here tonight if there's any specific questions, but when we put these on, the goal is that these are all revenue producing and will offset with revenues either collected through the fair or direct sales tickets, like the concerts we have. We're selling the tickets, that covers the cost. The first one on there is Monster Trucks. That is an event that comes every year. If you like Monster Trucks, it fills the stands up, and it's a great family event. A little bit loud, but it's a lot of fun. This company has been with us how many years? 7 years. They've come back each year, and it fills the bleachers up every year.
Okay, we're looking for the motion.
I will, Chair. I move that the board approve the contract with Monster Truck Throwdown LLC, not to exceed $35,500 for the 2023 Emmett Charlevoix County Fair, and authorize the county administrator to sign the same.
We have a motion and a second. Second by Commissioner Mapes. Looking for a roll call.
I do have a question first.
I'm sorry.
Should have discussion.
Yes.
This is kind of new to me, but adding up these five contracts here, I'm coming up with pretty close to $120,000. Plus, some of them are kind of open-ended, 10% of artist fee, 85% of gross box office receipts. I'm just kind of wondering how much money does Emmett County take in each summer from the fair?
Total dollar amount?
Do we have an approximate dollar amount that we take in?
It's probably about $186,000.
$186,000. Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay, now we're looking for a roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Gittup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aaron?
Yes.
Motion carries. So the next one is another fair contract for
Howard Pitch is the basically the consultant that we use to secure our talent. We've been using them for the last 6 years. They help secure our concerts and do all the work to make sure that our concerts are that we have everything in place. They find the talent for us. We say what we're looking for. They go out and find the talent, and then they work with the committee to bring them on board.
Okay. I'm looking for the motion.
I move that the board approve the contract with the Howard Pitch Entertainment Company for the 2023 Emmett Charlevoix County Fair and authorize the county administrator to sign the same.
We have a motion.
Second.
A second. We have a second. Any discussion? Second. Let's call the roll.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Coons?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion carries. This next one is the Firefighter Show.
Firefighter Show has been a staple of the fair for the last 10 years. They come out and do education. It's another one of those events that gets great draw, and families come out and watch the show and learn something on fire prevention.
Deal. Looking for a motion. Chair, I move the board approve the contract with the firefighter show for the 2023 Emmett Charlevoix County Fair and authorize county administrator to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Let's call the roll.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Coombs?
Yes.
Commissioner Lochbaum?
Yes.
Motion carries. And the next one, another fair contract.
Another fair contract. Dylan Scott is one of the performers that it will be at the show this year. We have Dylan Scott and Nate Smith are our two acts. It's the same night. When we put these together, the fair board looks at the cost of all the entertainment and puts a budget together. So stage lighting, sound, everything that goes in there, that's how we set the ticket prices to cover the cost and ideally have a little extra funding that helps pay for other activities in the fair. So the first one you have tonight is Dylan Scott. Dylan Scott is a country performer, and he's one of those up-and-comers in the country music.
Okay, looking for a motion.
I move that the board approve the attached contract with William Morris Endeavor Agency and the rider with Dylan Scott for the music performance on August 23rd, 2023 at the Charlevoix County Fair, and authorize the county administrator to sign the same.
We have a motion. Looking for a second.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I guess this would be a basic question. I've noticed that this is called the Emmett Charlevoix County Fair. Does that mean that Emmett County and Charlevoix share these expenses equally?
I wouldn't say equally, but Charlevoix does provide staffing and dollar amount to the fair every year.
Could you give us a good idea how much they provide in dollar amount?
$18,000.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other discussion?
Just one more comment for Chuck. Page 4 of the document of the contract with Dylan Scott shows the estimated revenue for the events that would cover the cost.
Okay.
Okay, let's call the roll.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Lochbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Another fair contract with Nate Smith.
This is the last one for tonight. Nate Smith is the other performer that will be at the concert on the 23rd. Same thing that you have an opening act and then the main act.
We get in practice here tonight.
Yes.
Fair enough. Looking for a motion.
I move that the board approve the attached contract with William Morris Endeavor Agency and the writer with Nate Smith for a musical performance on August 23rd, 2023 at the Emmett Charlevoix County Fair and authorize the county administrator to sign the same.
We have a motion. Looking for a second.
I'll second.
And a second. Any discussion? Call the roll.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner Coombs?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Motion carries. We have a different one now, Bay Bluffs.
This is not the fair. This is a word for two tubs and two lifts for Bay Bluffs. This goes into the bathing rooms. These are specialty pieces of equipment. We put in your packet, the lifts and the tubs that you're looking at. These are specific to Bay Bluffs and what they're looking for. This was bid out, and we have gone with the bid that's on the sheet right now, and that is the piece of equipment that we were looking for, both the lift and the two separate entities, but they work together. The lift and the tub, the one is a full body lift, and the other one is where someone can actually sit in it. We lift him into the tub and set him into the tub. The other one's the full body one. It's almost like a stretcher that goes into the tub.
This almost goes with the fair for fair rides into the tub. Eh?
We don't charge for these, though.
Yes, you do.
Not enough.
Looking for a motion.
I'll make that motion. I move to approve the purchase of bathing room equipment for Bay Bluffs, including the ARJO Rhapsody Tub, Alenti Lift, Freedom Tub, Maranti Lift, to include assembly, connection, and user training in the amount of $44,637.50, and authorize the county administrator to sign necessary documents on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners.
We have a motion. Looking for a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. I guess you could pick one.
Give it to Don.
Any discussion? Okay, let's call the roll.
Commissioner Loffbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Motion carries. Looking for communication.
I've had a communication with one of our residents. We've had conversations, and I've answered the questions that were asked.
Okay. Anybody else with communication?
Mr. Chair, I kind of wanted to bring this up at the one of the first meetings that only lasted 14 minutes there, but we delayed it till tonight. I would like to offer a motion. I call it a memo of appreciation for the employees, and this is what it is. I'll make the motion now. I move to include the following statement on each employee's pay stub or email for the rest of the term of the current County Board of Commissioners. And this is that appreciation statement. It's 21 words. We thank you for your hard work and dedication to the people of Emmett County, the Emmett County Board of Commissioners.
I'll support that. I'll second.
We have a motion and a second and a support. Wait, go ahead.
Just a clarification, perfectly fine with that. It will not go on the paycheck, but it will go when on pay weeks there's a memo that goes out stating your check is available.
On the email.
On the email portion of it.
Yeah, and he mentioned the email also. Yes. So. Yes.
That's good. I appreciate that. I would like to explain briefly why I'm doing that. Some people might think it's frivolous, but... For many years, I worked for a huge corporation out of Houston, Texas, called Cisco Corporation, and it wasn't normal for anybody to ever thank you for your work. Even if you worked an 18-hour day, there'd be times that the local branch down in Grand Rapids would come up and meet with us once a year, but they didn't really thank you either. It was taken for granted. The only thing that really made it good was they paid well, but sometimes the local supervisors here in Metoskey would thank you if you made them look good. But also, the first thing we learned as new commissioners when we were called in for an informational meeting is that we're having a staffing shortage, a challenge in the staffing. And I have seen employees come in the store out here at 7:05 in the morning to get an early start in their day. And I'm pretty sure they don't get paid until 8 or 8:30. And I also personally know from talking to some of them that some of them are working through their lunch period. And I know there's a certain amount of stress and pressure that goes with the job. And a lot of them are staying late at night to meet deadlines. So we really appreciate our employees. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. We come to the time for public comment. Anybody wishing to make a comment, step forward. Seeing none, the next county board commission meeting will be March 16th at 6:00 in this room. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask one question, please?
Certainly.
First. This might be a question for our administrator. On September 29th of last year, the previous board passed a motion directing you to develop a plan to expand public transit using existing outside providers. And now I've got the motion here in front of me. It says motion by Commissioner McInnes and seconded by Commissioner Wargel to direct the county administrator to develop a plan to expand public transit services in Emmett County using existing outside transit providers. I'm just wondering where we're at on that motion, what we've done so far, if anything.
Go ahead.
We have had conversations with, when we talk about outside providers, we're talking about Sheboygan, and we're also talking about Charlevoix, both run transit system. Sheboygan right now is the partner that we use. We've had conversations with them. Part of that resolution was for us to set up a committee and work with the committee to look at expanding transit over the next 5 years. I think there was $450,000 set aside for transit. Our goal was to first start with the little over $1 million that was going out to the each one of the townships, villages, and cities within Emmett County. We're in that process right now of having the grant information out on the street right now, waiting for them to respond to that. The second portion of it was working with the Road Commission and getting both of the projects, Petasiga Road and the sign, the road signs done. They have the contracts now. They're reviewing those. Our next step, we've got two more to go, and one is transit and one is housing. Transit is the one that we're going to start working on next. And what we're looking at is a partnership with the two providers that I mentioned, try to work with them to expand existing services that we have. So we'll bring back to you what that proposal might look like in the future.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Transit, as we speak today, continues. Both Friendship Center, provides transportation, and then working with Sheboygan, we have the buses that are going throughout the community, more of a dial-ride service. Both of them are dial-ride services.
Any other questions or comments?
Move to adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. We are adjourned.